going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are back on a Monday, April 10th. Apologies for not being in touch this weekend. I was out. I was traveling. I felt a little bit out of touch with the Lineup Logic family. I apologize for that. But hey, you know, duty calls, standing up in a good friend's wedding. So, you know, hey, had to be there for that, obviously. And Saturday, Fern was dad duties all day. So, hey, we decided to take a little break ski from the NBA as it winds down here. It's kind of ridiculous and hard to predict anyway. So we took the Saturday off. Thank you for understanding. But hey, we got a great Monday slate here. A bunch of games that are actually viable because the Eastern Conference is so competitive right now. I mean, insanity. Everybody jockeying for position up at the top and in the middle. So we've got a lot of must-win games for a lot of teams that are hoping to get into the playoffs next week. Of course, only a few more games left in NBA here. Only a couple more nights of NBA to be concerned about. And, you know, as far as Lineup Logic goes, once NBA ends, we are going to transition over to MLB. The MLB cheat sheet rocking right now, rocking and rolling. We've had some great success, some great calls out there. And if you want to get in on the MLB, man, you can get a full month of MLB cheat sheets for $10. We do every slate. On Sundays, sometimes people aren't playing, so not everybody fills it out on Sunday, but we do every single slate. We do main, we do all day. We do them all, man, Monday to Saturday. So if you're playing MLB and you want a resource to help you build some MLB lineups and, you know, have some fun, jump in there because, damn, it is fun. It is fun stuff. But hey, the last days of NBA, I'm not going to turn my back on the NBA here. I'm going to miss NBA. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to miss NBA, but we definitely have a slate to break down here tonight. This game, you know, 8-game slate up here, and some, like I said, some really, really important games. So I'm not going to waste any time. We're not going backwards with the lineup review. I'm going to go forward into tonight's games, and let's go ahead and jump into the spreads for tonight. So, like I said before, well, we have some really competitive situations, some really important situations. So I want to get into exactly what games matter from a playoff standpoint. Okay, we have some really, really tight standings in the NBA. Obviously, we have Cleveland and Boston jockeying for position. Cleveland dropped that game last night to the Hawks in overtime was unbelievable, ridiculous, but proof that, hey, the Cavs right now without Tristan Thompson really struggle in the front court. Paul Millsap went bananas. You know, so they're jockeying position, absolutely tied. They're both in action tonight. Boston has a cake, it was supposed to be a cake game against Brooklyn. Of course, Chicago loses to Brooklyn yesterday, but Boston has the Nets and the Cavs have the Heat, okay? You got to think that both of these teams can win that game, and then it's going to come down to the last game of the season to figure out who gets home court. The Celtics have to win out in order to get home court, and of course the Cavs want to secure home court at the Quick because they're just so much better at the Quick. They love playing their playoff series there. You know, Celtics have Nets and Bucks left on their schedule, and the Cavs have the Heat. And Heat and then the Raptors to close it out. So not easy for either team. Of course, the Celtics love that they have the Nets tonight. They got to get that win. The Cavs got to get this win against the Heat. So that's an important situation. Then you go into the middle here. And aside, you know, okay, so the Wiz are pretty securely in that 3 seed. Or excuse me, the Wiz and the Raptors are pretty securely in their 3 and 4 seeds. They're really not too worried. The Wiz are in action against the Pistons right now, who are basically in punt mode, getting all their rookies into the rotation. Raptors not playing tonight, but Raptors playing really well right now. And then you have 5, 6, 7. The five is the Hawks right now, a game up on the Bucks. The Bucks only a game up on the Pacers. And then it's the Pacers, the Bulls, the Heat, all pretty much right there jockeying for position. The Pacers in the 7 seed, Bulls in the 8 seed, Heat and Bulls tied. But these games all matter. Bucks, Pacers, Bulls, and Heat all in action tonight. So you have to think that all these teams are trying to get that win, make sure that they don't slide in the standings. Of course, anybody who loses is going to be knocked way down here, you know, because other teams are probably going to win unless everybody wins and everybody loses, which, who knows, you know, that could happen. But Bucks in action against Charlotte, Pacers in action against the 76ers, Bulls in action against the Magic, and the Heat obviously have the Cavs. So, you know, the Heat with a tough situation, the Bulls, a decent matchup there, Pacers with a really nice game they should be able to get. Bucks in a, not a layup against the Hornets, who are still playing, you know, playing hard. So it's, you know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one out there in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, not so much. Only three games in the West tonight. The most interesting one, of course, being the Clippers and the Rockets situation. So, you know, the Jazz are banged up right now, really banged up. They have the Warriors here. I don't think that they're really going to push themselves in that game. Blazers getting lucky last night with that last-minute loss for the Nuggets. The Blazers have the Spurs tonight, which isn't great, but man, they did themselves a lot of favors by beating the Jazz over the weekend. So they are two up now on the Nugs. And so they, you know, they're going to try to get that win, of course, but the Western Conference games, not nearly as competitive, but you can definitely find some value in those games as well. So let's go through real quick all these spreads, and I'll remind you guys of injuries or playoff situations here. Indiana, Philadelphia, 211 total. Indiana favored by 8 on the road. Obviously, we know Philadelphia super banged up. Tons of value to find there on that team. So don't mind those Philadelphia value players. And I like almost all of the starters on Indiana. Love Paul George, love Miles Turner, love Thad Young. All those guys are really in an interesting position, or really in a good position tonight, and good prices. So feel good about your Pacers. Feel good about your value 76ers. Of course, got to love the Pacers to bring it in this one. Brooklyn, Boston, 223 total here. Boston favored by 11 at home. I like my Boston starters here just because of pace and the way Brooklyn has been keeping in games. So, you know, Boston's defense, not great. We saw it on Thursday night against the Cavs. They really just are kind of meh in a lot of situations lately, you know, and they struggle against the Hawks as well. I don't know if they're tired or banged up or what, but you got to think that Boston is really going to make sure that they put the pedal to the metal in this one and get a W. So definitely interested in some IT here. Cleveland at Miami, 210 total here. Miami favored by 4 at home, which is bananas. But Miami, man, good defensive team, and Cleveland just struggling. No Tristan Thompson here in this one, we know that. And then, of course, on the Miami side of the ball, they're thin at the wings here with Waiters out. You know, Josh Richardson been getting really good production of late, so we can think about him as well. Orlando at Chicago, 212 total here. Chicago favored by 8. Dwayne Wade returned to the lineup, and it just... honestly, I think it threw the whole thing off. It really did. He's not the same role player as Nico. He doesn't stretch the floor as well. He doesn't rebound as well. He obviously is way better off the dribble in an isolation situation, and he's Dwayne Wade. He's so much more clutch, but the problem is that you throw off the balance here, and I just don't understand. Just doesn't make sense. The Dwayne Wade stuff, it just... that's part of the problem. Rondo is a game time decision with the wrist that has kept him out. So we'll see about that. Evan Fournier, also a game time tag here. Could be interesting Jody Meeks territory if we don't have a Fournier, but it's not exactly Jody Meeks against the Nets, guys. Let's not get too excited about that. Charlotte and Milwaukee, this is obviously a playoff viable game. We love Milwaukee at home, 201 total here. It's going to be slow. It's going to be a pace down situation, but you know, got to think about Giannis here. And it's interesting, the Hornets still playing hard. I guess it's because they're not mathematically eliminated, or they weren't. I don't think they were, as of the weekend, they weren't mathematically eliminated, but maybe they are now. But they're playing hard. I think Hornets just, I think they just missed an opportunity this season. I'm not sure how that happened. Washington at Detroit, 210 total here. Detroit, this is weird. Detroit favored by one. I guess it's just the way Washington's been playing lately, really not putting teams away. You know, a lot of pace with the way they're playing, and they're letting teams hang around. They let the Knicks hang around the other night, and they regret that, I'm sure. The Wiz just, I feel like the Wiz just need a couple days off, really. And then in the Detroit game, no Reggie Jackson, no KCP likely in that lineup. And then you got to wonder, Beno Udrih is out now too. So really the only point guard that's there is Ish Smith, and Reggie Bullock been getting some good minutes as well. A lot of value on the Detroit side. If you look at the way they've been distributing minutes, they're going halvesies with their young guys, basically with the starters. So you have, you know, Drummond getting 24 minutes, John Lohr getting 24 minutes, Tobias Harris getting 24 minutes. But then you have, you know, Reggie Bullock, Henry Ellison, and Boban Marjanovic getting 28 minutes as well. So, definitely some value targets in Detroit. San Antonio, Portland, 203 total here. San Antonio favored by four on the road. Who knows what we'll see. Maybe we'll see some Pop rest candidates. You know, San Antonio is just so firmly in that two seed that Pop is not afraid to rest guys every once in a while. That said, if he doesn't rest anybody, gosh, nobody's going to look at Kawhi. Because why would you look at Kawhi on the road when you have all these other must-win situations? He's a really nice price, though, and against a really bad defensive team. So definitely something to think about there. A bunch of injuries on San Antonio. Of course, Deontay Murray, we're keeping an eye on the Ginobili and Danny Green. They've been kind of in and out of the lineup lately, so you got to keep an eye on them. Nurk, of course, out. And Alan Crabb with a game time tag. So we'll keep an eye on the Portland rotation as well. Houston at the Clippers, 229 total here. Clippers favored by six. It's interesting, man. You got to think that Houston still is playing everybody. And I think part of that is the James Harden MVP push. They're resting peripheral guys. Ryan Anderson back in the lineup. He's not hurt anymore. But, Lou Williams is going to rest tonight. Eric Gordon should be off his rest. Trevor Ariza possibly injured. So, if you have some of these guys sitting, you're going to have to think about Harden, who triple-doubled again last night. Insanity. No serious injuries on the Clippers side of the ball. Clippers playing well, but not... I mean, playing well, but, like, still leaving teams in games. Like, 36, everybody has to, you know, play 36 minutes against the Lakers and the Suns. It's just like, what, how good is this Clippers team? I'm not really sure. I think we'll probably get a sense of that tonight in a very difficult Western Conference matchup. Utah, Golden State, 207 total here. Golden State favored by nine. That line's going to move, man, because Utah has so many injuries right now. George Hill still dealing with the groin. Gordon Hayward dealing with the thigh contusion. Favors out. Hood out. Part of me thinks that the Jazz are just going to say, let's get healthy. Let's take this five seed and let's just stick with it. Because, you know, when we're healthy, we feel like we can beat the Clippers. But if we're not healthy, there's no way we can beat the Clippers home or away. And Steph Curry dealing with a knee. So we'll see if he plays. Of course, KD comes back and puts up some nice production there for them in Golden State. Got to be happy that he's back and feeling good. So that's a good thing. So like I said, you know, these Eastern Conference games are great playoff targets, very viable games. You got to like some of these opportunities to target some of these playoff matchups here in this situation. But that's it. So let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love tonight. Who do you love? All right, let's start at the top of the slate. Lock and load, sorting through the studs. At point guard, I really like Isaiah Thomas, 8-8, getting Brooklyn at home. They're asking 44 points from him in a pace up, one of the highest totals on the night. you know, plus four pace differential, must win situation at home in Boston, where he has been extremely good this year. He's averaged 38 against them in two games. But you have to think the minutes are going to be safe here. Brooklyn playing well, challenging teams, you know, keeping things close all the way throughout. So I really like this game to stay a little bit closer than Vegas thinks. Maybe we get a couple extra minutes from IT in the fourth quarter. You know, if he stays close in this game with this pace and this total, you can get yourself over 45 points with IT, especially with the way Brooklyn plays on the perimeter. You know, and if IT has to go takeover mode, this is a team that he can go takeover mode against. And you really like him in pace up situations, pace up low backcourt defense. And that's what we have here. So, Isaiah Thomas at 8'8 is my favorite option at the top of the point guard slate. I don't love a Damian Lillard against the against the Spurs. I don't love a John Wall on the road against the Pistons. Now, of course, I could eat my words about John Wall because there's literally almost no one to defend him there. But that's not really a situation that I want to target when you kind of can't predict the range of outcomes. With IT, I feel safe that he's going to get to 40 points, and you could easily get over value if this game stays tight with this total here. You know, that's about it at the top of the point guard slate. It's not too loaded. The point guard is kind of complicated today. It's not my favorite position here. There's a lot of other spots that I like on the board a little bit better, but of course you've got some interesting GPP pivots up there. You could easily GPP pivot over to Chris Paul, I think, in a pace up situation. Even though you don't love the matchup, you love the pace and you love the total in that one, and you love that he's at home. So if that game stays competitive, you got to think Chris Paul is in an interesting position, just the way he's been playing, man. 51, 47, 41, 46. So I think you want some ownership leverage. Chris Paul is where you go. Now, at shooting guard, it's Giannis or Harden, right? Who do you pick? Well, let's compare them. Giannis at 10K and Harden at 12-1. They're both in interesting positions. Giannis is obviously in the must-win situation here against Charlotte because they want to continue to hold that spot in the playoffs. Okay. Harden, however, jockeying for this MVP voting against a Clippers team in one of the highest totals of the night. He's really trying to make sure that he secures this this MVP voting. I mean, they asked him about it last night, and he says, I thought winning mattered too. Well, that's a direct shot at Russ. No question. No question there, saying we've been the 3 seed all year long, and you guys are scrapping for the 6 seed. You know, winning matters. Interesting. Interesting. You got to think that he comes out hard and continues his case for MVP against the Clippers. Giannis has averaged 43 against the Hornets. He's at home where we like him. You know, Harden has averaged 53 against the Clippers. Neither of that is value. It's about 4x for both of them. But I think, you know, and honestly, okay, so middle of the pack, the Clips and the Hornets, both middle of the pack in the league for like 13 and 15 as far as defensive efficiency goes. Not much difference there. Fractions of a point different there. I think that you have to consider the following things, right? For savings, if you want $2,000 extra dollars in your lineup, then you go with Harden. You go with Giannis. All right, that makes sense, and he's a good investment. For ceiling, you have to go with Harden because he has a ceiling that is unlike Giannis's. He has a 65, 70-point ceiling, and while Giannis has done that once or twice, Harden's liable to do it any night of the week. For context, as far as, you know, playoff situation, they're pretty much a dead even heat. We haven't seen Harden rest. We haven't seen him take nights off. We haven't seen him take his foot off the gas. But of course, Giannis at home trying to secure a playoff win in front of the Milwaukee crowd. You love that. Ownership, I think the bump goes to Harden there. I think that, you know, people are much more comfortable with a 10K Giannis than they are with a 12K Harden in a game that they don't have to win. But pace and total, that goes to Harden for sure. You know, the pace of that game is going to be way higher. The Clips are favored at home. You like that game to stay really, really competitive and really, really get a lot of good possessions. So it's your call, and I have no problem with either one of those guys, to be honest with you. I think it's Giannis for me only because there's other pieces on this slate that I want to fit in, and I think that Giannis getting to 5K or 50 points is just as likely as Harden getting to 60 points in this situation. I think you're going to see good performances from both of them, but I really like Giannis's price more than I like Harden's price, and it allows me to spend up at one other stud position or maybe take some mid-range guys that I'm interested in as well. So that's that. At small forward, we've got Jimmy and LeBron to compare as studs, okay? Both over 10K, similar situation as above. We have to figure out where we want to go here because they're very similar situations. Now, Jimmy is 10-4, LeBron 10-9. Jimmy's averaged 41 against the Magic. LeBron has averaged 56 against the Heat. Now, obviously, that gives a little bit of a bump to LeBron. Now, his most recent game, he didn't play that well against the Heat. But, you know, you kind of like the narrative here, the return to Miami after the tough loss to Atlanta, must win kind of situation for LeBron. Seems like a takeover type spot. That said, Orlando's defense is so much worse than Miami's defense. Miami, like top 10 in the league in defensive efficiency, very, very good defensive team. Orlando's terrible defensively. You know, similar totals, similar pace. You know, obviously the Cavs play a lot faster, but the Bulls and the Heat are similar paced teams, and the Magic and the Cavs are similar paced teams. Cavs are actually one of the faster teams there, but you know, not really a tiebreaker as far as pace and total go. The thing that I think breaks the tie for me is that Dwayne Wade is back and Jimmy's usage is going to take that bite. That doesn't interest me. And I think Jimmy is less likely to go takeover mode in this situation than Bron is. Now, I could be wrong, and I think you'll get better ownership on Jimmy tonight than you will on LeBron. I think that people will be more interested in LeBron and the narrative here than they are Jimmy against the Magic. So, you know, it's LeBron for me, but I think the even better options just below that is Paul George. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who has to go takeover mode for his team right now, you know, who's been playing extremely well. It's Paul George. So, you know, if I had to pick two, give me PG and give me LeBron, and let's just go with that. I really like that situation for both guys here. So, you know, no problem with either of those guys, LeBron and Paul George. And you know, the problem is the only problem that you really have in that situation is that you're actually giving up a little bit of value by going down to or getting on both of these guys, which is, you know, kind of frustrating because there's a lot of good value to be had at small forward, but I really like both of them quite a bit. Like them a lot. So something to consider, how are you going to spend your money tonight? It's not that complicated, but you know, it's definitely, there's definitely a lot of options that you like. And as a result, I think, you know, you have to be judicious in your decision-making, but LeBron and Paul George just seem so juicy right now with the way that they've been playing and their situations. I like them both much more than Jimmy, I think. Power forward, Blake at 9-3. Trap. This feels like a trap. Trap. It's a trap. Crazy price. And let's not get googly-eyed and game watch, you know, box scores here for Blake. Yes, he's been out of his mind. Yes, he's had some 30-point games, but those came against the Suns and the Lakers, and they came in situations when, you know, he had to play 36 minutes. Why does Blake Griffin have to play 36 minutes against the Suns in April? It doesn't make sense to me. It tells me something goofy about this Clippers team. I don't understand it. That they have to play these guys all these minutes against these terrible teams really doesn't make sense. And then you look at his production against decent defensive teams. You know, San Antonio, only 29 points. Sacramento even limited him to 29 points. That's craziness to me. Utah, 29 points. You know, I don't really completely understand it. I don't know necessarily. I haven't been watching Clippers games lately, you know, but it just seems trappy to me, and I don't necessarily trust Blake to score 30 in this situation, which is how he hits value. And let's remember, he's not really rebounding, and he's not really passing the ball that well. You know, I just doesn't feel like a good spot for me. At 9-3, I'd really almost rather take that money and go to Chris Paul, who I just trust more. I just trust him more as a, you know, as a basketball player, to be completely honest with you. Or 9-3, take that money and find a way to get to Paul George. You know, he interests me a lot more than what's his name? Than Blake. So I'm not interested in Blake in this situation. I think if I want exposure to Clippers tonight, it's going to be via Chris Paul, maybe via DJ. DJ, though, also feels trappy. He has not played well against the Rockets at all. Even though they're a bad rebounding team, you know, he just hasn't played well. Now, that said, he plays really well at home, so I don't mind that spot for DJ at all. At center, let's look at Rudy Gobert here. And the reason that we look at Rudy is, well, obviously there's no one else really up there. Hassan Whiteside, I hate Hassan Whiteside. He's interesting only in tournaments because there's no Tristan Thompson. If there's no Tristan Thompson, then you have to think about him because he could get all the rebounds. That said, Rudy, though, is in an interesting spot here. If Golden State, here's why Rudy's interesting. The only place that Golden State struggles is against the center. It's literally their only weakness, and it's primarily because I think there's so many possessions, they give up rebounds down there. And they really don't play with a true center, so they're okay giving up the rebounds with the extra possessions. Now, you add to that the fact that we may have no Hill, no Gobert, no Hill, no Hayward, no Favors. Rudy is like going to become the primary option for that offense. And if we can get a situation where Rudy is getting tons of touches and tons of rebounds, you know, I really like that spot for Rudy Gobert. Now, his history against the Golden State Warriors, not incredible. The price is a little bit high and the production recently hasn't been amazing. And this isn't exactly a perfect matchup, right? I mean, he had really nice matchups against Portland and Minnesota and he kind of fell flat on his face. But of course, against a team like San Antonio, he goes bananas. So I'm not really sure how to read Rudy, and he's back to that spot, not where he's producing really consistently over 40 points a night. He's back to that spot where you can get 35 or you could get 55. And that scares me a little bit, I think. But at the same time, you know you're going to get ownership leverage with Gobert. I think he's GPP viable. All right, let's move on to the grout. These are the mid-range fellows, the guys in the 5 to 8K range that we're paying for here. At point guard, there's a couple guys that I want to talk about. The first is my boy, Elfrid Payton. You guys know I love Elf. If Elf is on a slate, I'm going to talk about him, no question. Of course, you can look up to Goran and Kemba. Obviously, they're in good positions as well. I have no problem with either of them. If you know, if you're looking at a point guard spot and you're like, I have just about $8,000 left, I don't mind Goran or Kemba. And I think the bump for me probably goes to Dragic here because he has the Cavs at home. He gets better pace and he's at home. That for me, that's just me. But Kemba's been a machine lately, and I just can't. For whatever reason, there was a time where I was getting Kemba right, and I just can't get Kemba right now. But I will say, I don't mind Kemba against Matthew Dellavedova defense. I don't mind that at all. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. So you could go with either of those guys. I do think that Elf is in a better value position, just points per dollar type situation. He'll be at Chicago. Chicago's been terrible. Bottom 10 in DVP against the point guard lately, giving up a ton of scoring. And you know, a ton of peripherals as well is what we like to see. You know, they're giving up 48 fantasy points per game to the point guard this season, and in the last five, it's just as bad as the Cavaliers, or just as bad as the Magic, almost on the opposite side of the ball. So definitely interested in Elf in a ceiling opportunity type game. And when we're looking at Elf, what you have to be able to get from Elf is 20 points if you really want that 40-point ceiling, because he's going to give you the rebounds, he's going to give you the assists. Now, the rebounds aren't going to come very easily against Chicago, very good rebounding team. So I think we limit our expectations. I don't see a 50-burger from Elf here because of the rebounding downside, but I do see upside in the assist category, and I do see upside in the points category. They're allowing 22 points to the point guard, and they've given up a ton of production there of late. So Elf is always interesting to me. I don't mind him. Jeremy Lin, though, at 6'4", he's just too hot to ignore right now, and the price is really good. You're only asking 32 points from a guy who basically has shown that he has a 25-point floor and a 40-point ceiling. He's been really, really consistent for cash games, exceeding value pretty much on a nightly basis, and the Nets play well with him, so they're giving him the ball. You know, in recent performance against Boston, he had 26 fantasy points in 21 minutes. That's pretty good. You got to think he gets about 31 minutes here. Maybe he gets bumped up, you know, maybe we get him over 30 points. I think that's not hard to think about. That said, you go down into the 5K range and you have guys who are pretty much the only dude on their team playing point guard, and it's TJ McConnell and Ish Smith. They're both pretty much it. That's it. That's all the point guard. Sergio Rodriguez out. He's shut down. The hamstring is just bad. TJ's been playing 30 minutes regularly and just, you know, 29 fantasy points pretty much every single time he hits the floor. And then Ish Smith, similar, you know. Reggie Jackson has been out, and then Beno Udrih just went down, so you gotta think that Ish gets 30 minutes here in a situation that's not a perfect point guard situation against Washington, but you love the pace with which Washington plays, and you love the fact that he's gonna get 30 minutes. They're just cash game options, guys. They're really high quality cash game options, you know, for you if you're looking to figure out how you can spend your money here at point guard in the 5Ks. They're very, very easy choices. At shooting guard, there's kind of two pairs of different guys that I'm looking at because of price and role, okay? I love Bradley Beal and Klay Thompson at 7'4 and 7K. And if this was March, you better fucking believe that I would be rostering one of those guys in these. Even in negative game scripts, I don't mind them. They're just so damn consistent with their minutes and their 30-point floors. I just, you know, I love Bradley Beal and I love Klay Thompson. I love having them on my rosters. Now, that said, I don't love the matchups and I don't love the situations for either of them. I just don't think you're going to get a lot of meat on that bone as far as points per dollar here. But I love those prices, you know. I love those prices. I think we have to look down. You can look at Avery Bradley. You can look at Marcus Smart. I don't get them right, so I don't know necessarily which one's going to go for 30 tonight and which one's going to go for 14. I can't really predict it. You know, I think Avery Bradley has just been a little bit more consistent of late. But then, of course, you know, you see the Marcus Smart Atlanta game where he just goes off and he has good history against Brooklyn. I'm not sure. I can't get them right, so if you can, you Boston fans probably know a little bit better than I do. For me, the two interesting guys, the interesting price point is either in the 4-5 range up to 5-5 range. At the bottom of the 4-5 range, we got Eric Gordon. I think Eric Gordon is in a really good position here, and the reason I say that is because Lou Williams is going to rest. We're going to see Eric Gordon return to the primary scorer and ball handler on the second unit of the Rockets, okay? We saw when Eric Gordon is the primary option in a situation at that Phoenix game, he went for 44. Now, this isn't Phoenix. This is the Clippers, obviously. But what we do like is the fact that he's going to be on that second unit right? With no Lou Williams as the primary scoring option. And we remember Eric Gordon as the primary scoring option before Lou came at the All-Star break was a 30-point player. I think if you can get 25 to 35 points out of Eric Gordon in a pace-up game in L.A. here, coming off a night of rest, he rested last night in Sacramento. That's a really good value. And I never think Eric Gordon comes with high ownership. That said, I also really like Josh Richardson at 5K. The minutes are super, super solid right now. And the production is just so consistent. If you pay attention to the way he's been playing, he's really only had one or two duds of 14 points every once in a while. And, you know, he's going over, he's basically got a floor of 20 points and he's been hitting 30 points and getting 36 minutes. We love the matchup with the Cavs against the Wings. They've been terrible against the wing all season long. They give up a lot of scoring out there. So I don't mind Josh Richardson. And of course, then you can also go up to TLC. He has been everybody's favorite player in April. Timothy Luwakabarro, 36 minutes every single night, 30 points pretty much every single night. I think what worries me is that Indiana, obviously on the season, we liked attacking them at the two, but once Lance Stephenson got there, you kind of wonder if their defense is getting better. It just kind of makes me think twice, you know? It makes me think twice, and it seems to me like, you know, based on some DVP stats here, that the defense might be trending in the right direction. I don't necessarily love TLC in this spot. You know, he had a... Pardon me. He had a decent game last time out against Indiana. 11 fantasy points and he only had 21 minutes. That was kind of right as he was transitioning into that starting role. But you know, you compare that to some of the other plus matchups that he's had. You know, Brooklyn. He's seen Brooklyn twice. He's seen the Bulls. You know, it just is not as good. And I think that you're more likely to get some kind of outcome in the low 20s from TLC tonight rather than that 30-point range because Indiana's they're a better defensive team than some of the other teams that you're playing. And he, you know, when he plays those better defensive teams, he's clearly, you know, Atlanta, for example. Well, Atlanta is not exactly great against the, But in that game, I believe Thabo was back. Toronto, for example, only 25 points. It just doesn't feel like a perfect spot for TLC, and I'm not going to force it at that price. If he was still below 5K, then yeah. I mean, Josh Richardson and Eric Gordon seem very interesting to me in this position. Small forward, we talked about Paul George. I think you do get ownership leverage with Kawhi here in the spot if we know he's going to play, so I don't mind that. Gordon Hayward is also an ownership leverage candidate against Golden State. You know, the reason you like him is just because of pace and total. That's it. I don't really love him against Golden State at full force defense. You know, the combination of he'll probably get Klay and KD, that doesn't really interest me. You know, and I don't know if they're going to force him to play those minutes and try to really win this game. I'm not really sure how they're going to approach this. It's not exactly a plus situation. And, you know, the way Hayward's been playing right now, you really need him to get over 30 fantasy points for him to hit value for you. That just doesn't seem viable to me. 30 fantasy points against the Warriors just doesn't seem like a good spot to put Gordon Hayward in. So you go down to Chris Middleton and Jay Crowder, who... I don't really love these guys, you know, because there's really no ceiling there. But, okay, fine. The prices are really good. The matchups are good. The roles are good. I don't mind either of them. If you have to find a 6K shooting or small forward, I guess it's got to be one of these guys just because you know they're going to get 30 minutes. You know they do more than score. Their prices aren't terrible. One of them has Brooklyn. You know, Jay killed them last game out, but that was partially because IT was out of the game and he takes the bull by the horns when there's not all those players out there in Boston. So he doesn't have to do that if there's, you know, other ball handlers out there. He just kind of takes a back seat, plays some defense, does his thing, and hits those perimeter threes when he needs to. Chris Middleton, similar, you know, he plays that perimeter spot. He's a secondary option to Giannis. Obviously, you like the situation given must-win games for both of them. Tight games, sure. Well, maybe the Brooklyn game will be tight. We'll see. The problem is that, you know, they could both go for 23 and still win this game, and you're at 4X and you're just kicking yourself for rostering a guy who, you know, his range of outcomes is basically 20 points up to 33 points. You know, and if the top of his range of outcomes is 33 points and his ceiling is basically just about 5X, that kind of worries you. You know, it's not exactly a perfect situation. Yes, he offers you floor, but he doesn't offer you ceiling. And there's some other guys down there at value in the value section that are way more viable as far as ceiling goes. All right, at power forward, you gotta love Rashawn Holmes. You don't gotta love him, but you like him. Excuse me. You gotta love Thad Young. I think Thad Young is in an excellent position here. Holmes has been, you know, it's both sides of the ball in this Indy Philly game. There was not great rebounding on either side of the ball. Holmes has been has had an excellent history against Turner this year. He can't really defend anyone. Holmes playing the center. He's gotten 30 minutes in the last couple games. He had 31 fantasy points against Indy last time out. The thing that worries me about Rashawn Holmes is the bottom can fall out every once in a while and his minutes get yanked, whether it's foul trouble, whether it's he's just not playing well, whether it's blowout, whether it's let me give this guy a look because we're in development mode. I'm not really sure, but I think Rashawn Holmes should get 31 minutes, 32 minutes, 30 fantasy points. He feels safe. You know, I think you do your homework, see if it works for you. You don't have to force him in there. He's not a lock for me whatsoever, but I like him. Thad is kind of almost a lock. The price and the minutes are there. The must-win situation is there, and the matchup is excellent. And Thad has just been playing really, really well. Clearly, he's back to completely healthy, which seemed to be the problem earlier. You know, in the last four games, he hasn't dipped below 26 fantasy points, twice going over 30. He hit 39 against Memphis not long ago. The rebounding, double-doubles in rebounding in three games in the last 10. You know, his last game against Philadelphia, he didn't play a lot of minutes. Got to be honest with you. But I think that in this situation, you should see those normal 30 minutes from Thaddeus Young here. He's clearly healthy. And been playing well, doing that double-double, that similar line to Georgie Dang, right? And we almost have the same situation where Dang was underpriced for a while. And now he's coming back, he's getting those minutes, he's clearly healthy, maybe you get a 10-10 from him, and you feel good about the production. So I really like Thad Young. I think the price is good on him as well tonight. He's going to be in my lineup for sure. Miles Turner and Clint Capella at center. I like both of these guys in this spot. You know, I keep talking about these Pacers, but you know, you have to target this banged up Philadelphia team, especially for guys who can rebound. Miles Turner at 6,800. Dude had 42 fantasy points last time out against them. Just had 38 against Orlando. You know, in these plus matchups against centers, he's been really, really good. You know, he scares you a little bit because, yeah, he has a floor. He has an 18-point floor. You know, he can really kind of disappear. But, you know, he disappears. He doesn't disappear in plus matchups. He seems to understand how to take advantage of plus matchups. He had 16 rebounds against Philly last time. You know, you just love Turner in this spot to kind of keep it rolling here after that good Orlando game. You know, and they have no problem feeding Miles Turner when they know he has a plus matchup. So I like him a lot. And Clint Capella, hey, man, well, you know what? I don't think Nene is going to play. And you got to love Clint Capella in a situation when he's probably going to get 35-plus minutes. You know, the Clippers are fine against the center. They're not going to let him rebound the hell out of the ball, but he's going to get 30 minutes here. And you get a really good price on a guy who's getting 30 minutes, and we know what his floor is. He's basically got a 20-point floor when he gets all those minutes. He has a 20-point floor, 24-point floor when he gets 25 minutes. You know, I mean, his normal minutes, he's basically a fantasy point per minute. So, you know, I don't mind Clint Capella at all in this situation. I think the ceiling is a little bit limited, but I don't think that it's crazy to expect him to get you 30 fantasy points in what is going to be a pace-up situation where they need front court help because Nene is down. The question, of course, then becomes, hey, Sean, should we look at Montrezl Harrell? I love Montrezl Harrell. I like Montrezl Harrell as a player. I just don't know necessarily if he's going to get run. I don't know if they trust him. It's weird. They trusted him for so long when Capella was out and he was producing. It was great. And it's just not the same now. They just don't trust him quite as much. All right, let's run through the value section here, the bargain basement. Let's jump into a couple really high-quality value plays at all the positions. At point guard, I think you have to consider the Utah guys, Shelvin Mack being the primary guy that I'm going to consider. If we get no George Hill against Golden State, I think you have to look at Shelvin Mack in this situation for sure. I'm also looking pretty closely at Patty Mills, and I don't mind Tony Parker, although Tony Parker has limited ceiling. Both of these Spurs guys have limited ceilings. You know, you never know what you're going to get from a Spurs point guard, to be honest with you. But you don't mind the matchup against Portland, especially if they're both active. That's about it, honestly. It's the Utah guys are interesting. And then, of course, you know, we talked about Ish Smith, and, you know, that's kind of as low as I want to go with point guard here. At shooting guard, I think that we have to look pretty closely. Once we get to Eric Gordon, who is a good value, I think we have to look pretty closely at a guy like J.R. Smith and Nick Stauskas. You know, the minutes are pretty consistent. The prices are just really good. And we know that they can go for 25 or 30 points given, you know, any given night. In that respect, you like them. You know, you don't love them in their roles. Their floors are just kind of brutal, but they can get some good production. Of course, if Fournier's out, then we're going to look at Meeks because we have to. And Reggie Bullock is interesting as well. You know, if we can get confirmed that KCP is out, then I think you can definitely look at Reggie Bullock min price here for sure. He's been pretty productive with some of those minutes of late. That's about it for me. I don't want to force it with some of these other guys that have, you know, seen some production of late. I just don't think that there's any reason to do that. That's about as low as I'm going to go. Those high threes. I guess you could look at Alec Burks cause he's going to probably play some minutes for Rodney Hood. Just kind of worries me. You never know. I mean, you never know when Burks is really going to show up, to be honest with you. Some days, you know, he can light it up, you know, and then he can absolutely be terrible. And some days he gets 20 minutes, some days he gets 10 minutes. So I'm not really sure how to treat the Alec Burks situation, to be honest with you. It makes me nervous. At small forward, I think you start with a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, for example, who just tons of run, great, great rebounder, great situation against Boston, who does not rebound the basketball. You start with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who went off last night. And then you look at, you know, obviously you got to look at Terrence Ross, because who knows, Terrence Ross could score 30 any single night, or he could score 13. We have no fucking idea what Terrence Ross will do. And Terrence Ross, Justin Anderson, I mean, of course he's been producing, but he's similar to Ross in the sense that, you know, it's not sexy. You're not excited about it. You're not excited about Justin Anderson. But the one that you are excited about is my man, Jingle Bear. Jingle Bear, of course, and Joe Johnson, just the goats, the value goats, guys. I mean, I don't know why FanDuel doesn't know how to price these clowns, but they don't. And these guys are just always producing when there's no other Jazz on the floor. Jingles, particularly, I read a little stat about him, had an 28 fantasy points against the Warriors last time out. So if we get no, I mean, if we get no Hayward and no, you have to play one of these guys. It's just foolish. They could go 7x for you. And then that's about it for me in that range. I think you stop in the 4Ks. You don't really force it and go too low here with some of these other guys. I just, you don't know when the bottom is going to fall out or when they're not going to get minutes. You know, you can't really trust some of these guys. I think the only one that you can look at is maybe a Stanley Johnson. You know, Johnson getting minutes off the bench here for Detroit. Those seem pretty safe. Those seem pretty consistent. So we can look at Stanley Johnson, I think, maybe as a min price option. All these Detroit guys are kind of nerve-wracking as far as min price options go. And then at power forward, yikes. I mean, it's literally dart throws. You know that guys like, you know, Jonas Jerebko and Noah Vonleh are going to get minutes. We know that they're going to get some minutes, but the problem is what are they going to do with them? You know that Montrezl Harrell might get some minutes, but what's going to happen with those minutes? I think the only guy that you feel decently comfortable with is strangely enough, another Detroit guy, the Henry Ellenson. Henry Ellenson has been getting, 20-plus minutes in the last two games, basically splitting minutes there with the rest of the Detroit lineup. You know, and Washington at the four is a good matchup. So, you know, hopefully he gets 25 minutes at min price. That's not a bad dart to throw. I don't mind that one at all. But that's about it. And then value centers, it go back to Detroit as well. I mean, these Detroit guys are valuable because they're just not, you know, there's nobody playing. They're splitting minutes with the starters, and they're all min price because they haven't gotten any minutes recently. So, you know, you look back at like a guy like Boban Marjanovic. Marjanovic, if we get news that, you know, Marjanovic is going to play, he's been excellent of late. He's at 3,600. You can obviously look at Boban. You know, you got to think that that's a good position for Boban to get, you know, get some extra boards against the Washington front court that really has not been very impressive of late. But I mean, that's about it. I don't really know where else we can go with any certainty. There's really not anyone else that you can look at and say, oh yeah, that's a good spot. We gotta make sure we take advantage of that position tonight. It's just, there's not really any of those out here. So that's it for me. All right, let's go ahead and real quick build a lineup here. Of course, this is a core lineup. This is a pivot. This is all, we invite the pivots here. We want to get our changes in. Normally I give you guys a core of players that I'm working around. I think today two of the guys that I'm really working around, Isaiah Thomas. I'm really working around Eric Gordon, LeBron, and Thad Young. Those are some of my favorites. Now, there's a couple changes here and there that we can make. But this is where I ended up with one of my first lineups here was Isaiah Thomas and Ish Smith. Okay, decent matchups. Ish Smith, obviously, great value right now just because the minutes and Nobino Udre. Josh Richardson and Eric Gordon, good prices, good minutes. And I love Eric Gordon with no second unit usage, that Lou Williams situation. LeBron and Paul George, which I really, really like LeBron and Paul George tonight. I'm really having a hard time deciding which one I like. I think if I get off one of them, it's going to be Paul George. Just because the front court matchups for Philadelphia are so good that maybe PG doesn't have to do quite as much. But I don't know. It seems risky. Paul George is liable for a 50 burger at any moment. Henry Ellison, he's my min price guy that I'm getting in here. And then Thad Young. And then at center, Miles Turner. So not a bad lineup. I like it a lot. I think that if I were to make some changes, maybe what I'll do is I'd get off Paul George. And I would try to get myself a little bit of Giannis. And it's pretty easy pivot here. And I just go Giannis. And then at small forward, I have 4,900 left. And I just probably, honestly, for consistency, I would get one of Joe Ingles or Joe Johnson. And I'd have $800 left. Maybe I could bump Eric Gordon up to Josh Richardson. I could bump Ish Smith up to, actually, yeah, that's what I would do. I would bump Ish up to Jeremy Lin. That's probably what I would do there. And then it would be Isaiah Thomas, Jeremy Lin, Giannis, Eric Gordon, LeBron, Joe Ingles, Henry Ellison, Thad Young, Miles Turner. You know, and of course, if you want to get some more value at center, you go down to Boban, and then you can maybe even get, let me see if I can do this. I think I did this earlier. If I get Boban in there, old Boban, what a great name, Boban. Hilarious name, really. And then, really got to save some dough here. Oh, yeah, that's what you do. So if you get a min-price Boban and a min-price point guard and maybe a Shelvin Mack here, you get a Shelvin Mack in there, then you can fit in LeBron James, Paul George, and Giannis. So it's IT, Shelvin Mack, Giannis. Wow. Eric Gordon, LeBron James, Paul George, Henry Ellison, Thad Young, and Boban. That's your stars and scrubs right there. That's your stars and scrubs. And you have IT and Giannis and LeBron and Paul George. Holy smokes. That is, that's pretty sexy. Especially if we find out that there's guys who, you know, are in starting positions, you know. But I think the safer, you know, the safer version of this, the obviously the one that we were just looking at, I think is probably the safer version of this. And you go back to a Jingle Bear. You go back to, you can't type in the word jingles on FanDuel. Sorry about that. They don't have his nickname imported yet down there. you go back to... Go back to Jingle Bear and you leave point guard and center open. Now, there's a couple ways you can go with that. And I think if you want to get maybe some DeAndre Jordan in there, then you can find a, you know, a low price point guard in the 4K range. If you want to go Miles Turner, you can get Miles Turner. If you go Miles Turner and then you go Miles Turner and Jeremy Lin, or you can go Clint Capella and Kemba Walker. You know, I think... I don't know. For me, it probably feels right to go, I think, Miles Turner and Jeremy Lin. I just love Miles Turner in this spot. I think this is a 40-point ceiling for him. And Jeremy Lin, just he's a 5Xer, you know? It's not a perfect price for him, but he's a 5Xer, I think, in this situation. So it's IT, Jeremy Lin, Giannis, Eric Gordon, LeBron James, Joe Ingles, Henry Ellison, Thad Young, Miles Turner. And like I said, very easy pivots over to get in Paul George in that lineup. If you want to get in three studs, you can do it with one extra min price player. So all very viable options for tonight's slate. Guys, good luck. There's only a couple days of NBA left. Throw a couple GPPs out there, huh? I mean, come on. A couple $1 entries aren't going to hurt you. If you haven't reviewed the show, please review the show. Please do so before the end of the NBA season. If you're interested in getting in on the MLB cheat sheets, we are interested in having you. We would love to have you aboard the MLB cheat sheet. MLB coming up here soon. Guys, you know where to find me on Twitter. Hey, Mr. Kane, best of luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow with one of the final days of NBA regular season. Single tier.